From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The film Mystic River is a mystery so dark it almost didn't get made. Hollywood producers shied away from the story's crimes, child molestation, and the murder of a 19-year-old girl. But director Clint Eastwood recognized the potential power of the critically acclaimed novel by Dennis Lehane. Eastwood saw in the story a classic tragedy where men confront the darkness of their youth and a father grieves for his murdered daughter.
When I got out of the joint, I remember I was more afraid of my little daughter than I ever was of being in prison. I loved her most.
That's Sean Penn. He plays one of three men who grow up together in a rundown Boston neighborhood. Capturing the complexity of these three characters, Jimmy Markham, Sean Devine, and Dave Boyle, is a tall order for any screenwriter. Eastwood chose Oscar-winning writer Brian Helgeland and convinced the hesitant novelist Lehane to sell the film rights. Lehane and Helgeland never met during the adaptation process, but they joined us recently from our New York studios. Lehane explains why, at first, he didn't want to sell his novel to Hollywood.
In the book, there's just a lot of thinking. It's not a book in which necessarily what people do is maybe as important as why they do it and sort of seeing their thought processes. And so I wasn't sure that would translate. And that was my worry until I read Brian's script.
What was it about Brian's body of work that raised your comfort level?
Well, Brian had adapted what I consider one of the great unadaptables in L.A. Confidential. And he nailed it, and he got the spirit of the book. And that's what I was looking for. You're not looking for somebody to transpose the content, because that's impossible. You can't take 400 pages and turn them into 400 script pages unless you want a 400-minute film.
Brian, when you read a book with a film in mind, knowing that you're going to adapt it, what do you start to hear and start to see as you go through the book?
You're immediately trying to figure out what the theme of the book is, and at the same time, once you've figured that out, you're trying to figure out what you can get rid of, because it's so much about editing it down to a feeling or a vibe or a sense of things.
That sense, the ambience of Mystic River, is as visual in the novel as it is in the film. Aging triple-decker homes, overgrown parks, skirted by the river of the title. It's a neighborhood that remembers, a place with a grip its residents can't escape. When the murder investigation begins, the lives of the three men who once played together as boys collide. Sean Penn as the vengeful father, Kevin Bacon now a homicide detective, and Tim Robbins, a suspect in the case who was once victimized by child abusers. Despite the all-star lineup, the film takes some interesting liberties. Tim Robbins' character is described in the novel as the smallest of the trio, a kid with girl's wrists and weak eyes. In the film, Robbins towers over the two other men. Screenwriter Brian Helgeland says Robbins transformed himself to fit the image.
When I heard Tim was being cast, my initial reaction was he's too big physically. And when I saw him on screen, he's aware of that himself, and he's almost shrunk himself, which is an example of the magic of movies, how things can come together in ways that you don't expect.
Yeah. There were these things he did, because if you look at it on the page, Kevin Bacon seems closer to the physical description of Dave, and Tim seems far more the physical description of Sean. Sean is described as tall, curly-haired. So I think by Clint flipping that was a really fascinating choice, and I think everybody was a little jarred at first, and then when we saw Tim on the set, that's what did it to me, walking in and just seeing him broken.
What are the interesting developments if you've read the book and then see the film? There's another character in the film who's Sean Devine's police partner, and his name is Whitey Powers?
Yes.
And Whitey is a fellow from South Boston in the book. He's of the neighborhood. In the film, he's altogether different. Whitey is played by Lawrence Fishburne, a black man, which gave the character a whole different dimension. Brian, was that your idea?
I wrote it as Whitey Powers, Irish cop, and Clint is a big fan of Lawrence's work and decided that he wanted to try to get Lawrence. And I fill in the blanks a little bit myself. It was like he was from Roxbury. the black neighborhood that's next to Dorchester.
So if he was truly to be the observer, it made more sense to take him out of that orbit, to have him from a different universe.
It's fun to watch Lawrence in those scenes because he's really playing that very strongly as a guy who's just kind of like, he's a step removed from the whole thing.
Here's Lawrence Fishburne as Whitey Powers trying to convince his police partner, as played by Kevin Bacon, that a childhood friend could be a murder suspect.
I say we have another talk with Brendan Harris first thing in the morning.
Yeah? And I say Dave Boyle. The hand story, huh? The wife, she's definitely scared.
Well, they're hiding something, but I think Dave Boyle is about as much a killer as I guess Brendan Harris is.
Hey, Boyle fits the profile. Mid-30s, white. Marginally employed, sexually abused as a kid. Are you serious? On paper, this guy should be in jail already.
Katie Markham was not sexually abused, you see?
You were friends when you were kids? This makes you a liability.
Hey, he's not my friend, all right? Turns out you're right. I'll have my cuffs off my hip faster than yours.
Dennis, are you from an area like this? Is this?
Yeah, that's where I grew up. I grew up in Buckingham is four neighborhoods in Boston, Dorchester, South Boston, Charlestown, and Brighton. And I grew up in Dorchester.
And so it was really important to you that someone get it right. You didn't want your home, you didn't want your hood to be misrepresented.
No. I needed somebody to get that, you know, at its essence, this is, yes, it has mystery elements in it, but it's really, it's a classic tragedy. It's a classically structured tragedy. And also that I needed somebody who sort of shared my ideas about human folly, that this was very much about folly. And about the danger of thinking that you're right, and how I find that folly as a concept is both the most admirable and the most tragic impulse in human beings.
Brian, in order to inhabit these characters, did you have to go back to Boston, to Dorchester, to walk those streets and sit in those pubs so you would really understand these men?
Yeah, no, the irony is I'm from the same area. I'm from New Bedford, Massachusetts, which is about 45 miles south, which is a kind of a factory fishing town, and very similar. When I read the book, I thought, oh, I recognize that guy, or I know that guy, or that guy was like my friend so-and-so's dad. And so I think my saving grace as a writer for this project was that I grew up in basically the same neighborhood.
When a film is finished, the novelist has the surreal experience of watching his words spoken to him from the screen. Dennis Lehane says it was hard to comprehend another writer's interpretation of his story.
I was incapable of suspension of disbelief. So it took me about 3 weeks to sort of realize, oh, wow, it's a beautiful job. I saw The Coming Attraction with some friends, and I turned to them, same reaction. I turned to my friends, and I said, did that work? And my friends were all saying, Jesus, we get chills. But that can't happen to me. You know what I mean?
That was Dennis Lehane, author of the novel Mystic River. We also spoke with Brian Helgelin, who wrote the screenplay. The film opens in a select number of cities today. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.